In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough. Lions puts the talk into tea.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Anyway, first, we've talked before on the show about how in Spain, Portugal and Italy, local authorities are taking all sorts of measures to combat rural depopulation, such as offering houses for sale for a euro. And this is an example of that. Jason Lee Beckworth and his wife live in California, but in the not too distant future, they'll be moving to Spain, where they bought an entire village for 300 grand. Jason, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on your show.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but in here in certainly in Ireland, you wouldn't be able to buy a box for 300 grand. Don't mind it in an entire village. Could you describe for us first Salto de Castro? What does it look like and why is it deserted?
All right. Well, it was built in the late 40s, 1950s. I think it was built. It was done around 1950. It was built for the workers of a power plant and a dam that was being built on the river there, about a half hour outside of the city of Zamora in Spain. And it was built to look like, you know, the old style buildings with a lot of stone, a lot of granite that was actually cut from the mountain it sits on. So it was built by the engineer of the dam and the power plant, and it was built to house everybody, but it was a self-contained village, you know, so people didn't have to commute from the cities and stuff around there. So it had a church, a restaurant, a pool area, apartments, a hotel, you know, just all kinds of stuff, a little school behind the church, things like that. And it sits, there's a road that comes from the main highway, and the end of the road is where the village is. It sits 200 meters directly above the river Duero. And it's just surrounded by a UNESCO biosphere, which means it's protected forest land. So there's nothing but animals and plants and just beautiful nature everywhere you look.
Yeah, I looked at pictures of it. It looks absolutely gorgeous. And it looks, as you kind of said, it looks a bit older than it actually is.
It does. It was built like that. And I tell you, every window in that place, there's not a bad view. You know, everything looks like a postcard. It's just, it's amazing. Now, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen an old movie called Clueless, but there's a saying in there. She says something about, well, it's a full-on Monet. And, well, what do you mean? Well, from far out, it looks great, but you zoom in close, it's just a big old mess.
Yeah, that's the thing. Through any of those windows from which you can get a great view, is there any glass in them?
You got a lot of air circulation going, I'll tell you that. There's not an intact window in the village.
Yeah. Now, what possessed you and your partner to do this?
That's a good way of putting it. Well, I'll tell you this. Long story, a little less long. I had a bed and breakfast in California for about 5 years, after a lifetime of working in print shops and three heart attacks to provide the motivation, I decided it was time to change gears and do something that I liked, not just something that I was good at. So I took a couple seasons under a chef. I studied from her. I opened up a bed and breakfast for 5 years. And then it was great. I mean, it was such a left turn for me. I got to meet people from literally every continent on earth. They would come and stay at my place and feed them breakfast and overlooking the vineyards and stuff. And I just got really used to it. It really got good to me. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, serving people, showing them a good time, taking care of them. So after about 5 years, I sold the business, closed the doors, and focused on my family, took a year off. Well, you know, after about a year of being around the home all the time, my wife got a little tired of that. So I'm a handful. So she said, you know, I think it's time we find something new to do. So I started looking, and I started looking in California where I live, you know, to be sensible, stuff that makes sense, like around where we live. people that we know. And but nothing really pulled on my heart. So she suggested, because she's from Brazil and I'm from the entire other side of the country from where I was living in California. I was born in New York. So boundaries don't mean much to us, you know. So she said, well, why don't we look outside of North America? You know, the political situation is getting pretty crazy there right now anyways. And her and I both had it with both sides of the equation. So the thought of leaving kind of was a plus for us. So she said, I said, well, what about Portugal? And she said, why? I said, well, you speak Portuguese and I'm lazy.
Yeah, good argument.
And that didn't work. So I said, well, what about, she said, you know, by the way, I've got to blame Italy for all this before I go any further. Because, you know, that was right around the time of the whole dollar home movement in Italy, like buy a home for a dollar in the mountains of Italy and fix it up, you know? Mm. So I was thinking, well, why don't we get three of those, four of those? We live in one, we rent the other ones out, I'll make the breakfast, you know, voila. And but neither one of us wanted to go in the mountains of Italy for some reason. It just wasn't, you know, when something pulls on your heart, you know? And I wasn't having any of that yet, so.
Yeah.
She says, well, why not Spain? I said, well, why not Spain? So we started looking, and the first thing I looked at was cave homes in Granada. Like, they build the caves, they cut the cave into the cliffside, into the mountainside, and then they just build an apartment inside it, you know? I thought, well, that would be kind of cool, but again, it didn't really pull on me, and it kind of had the look of like, well, you know, places like Santorini and things like that that are getting overrun with tourists and stuff. Now, I'm not saying that's what Granada looks like. Just the pictures of the place kind of reminded me, and it just didn't pull on me, you know? And then I saw an article about an abandoned village on the Spanish-Portuguese border. And from that day, I don't think my life was ever the same.
My word, yeah. How many times did you visit it before you put a down payment on it?
Well, me, technically twice. Yeah. I came here because my wife was, once I saw that place, I just couldn't stop talking about it. You know, I just, wow, I wonder if you could do that. And then when I knew it was changing for me, it was when I started trying to roadblock myself. And what I mean by that was, well, you probably can't own the land if you're a foreigner in Spain. You know, like in Mexico, for example, you can only lease the land from the government. So you're really at the whim of whatever, you know, administration is running the country at the time. They could just cancel your lease. So, but I looked it up and no, you can own land in Spain, no problem. So I just kept talking about it and my wife, you know, couldn't get me to shut up about it. So she put me on a plane. She said, look, you need to go and take a look at this thing because I think this is a big project and I don't think you realize what's going on. So why don't you go over, take a look at it. And if you still feel the same way, let's talk.
Yeah.
I said, all right. So, I mean, I had never been to Europe. I'd never been across the Atlantic Ocean. Nothing, you know, but all right, let's go. Let's roll. Let's do it. So I went over there, showed up in Madrid alone. Their representative took me out to the village. I started walking around the village, and that was it. I mean, there's not an intact window. It's a city in ruins, you know, but just something just took on me from the moment I put my feet on the ground getting out of the car. So I was sure, you know, being a part-time rock and roll musician in California and playing in clubs and, you know, sort of part-timing the rock and roll lifestyle, I was sure this was me being, you know, the crazy rock and roll guy. You know, I'm always the dreamer. My wife is the genius. She's, you know, she's got a degree in economics from Brazil. You know, she's just a genius. So I run all my crazy ideas through her. And I was sure this was one of them because I could not stop. I couldn't stop thinking about it. The place was just, I wanted to sleep there, you know, in the middle of the ruins. So here's my idea. My wife's birthday was 2 weeks after that trip. So I went home, I booked a flight, and I took her right back. I said, you're going to Spain for your birthday. Now, here's my plan. Here's my thought. Okay? My wife is a genius. She's the sensible one. I'm the crazy dreamer. So I'm going to get her over there because this place is just crazy. It's big. And I just couldn't, you know, I thought, well, this must be me, you know, being crazy, having a crazy harebrained idea. So I'm going to get the professional hair. She can come. She'll see it. She'll see that it's too much. She'll say no. And then voila, I can say, oh, well, look, I wanted to do it, guys, but, you know, my wife said no, and what are you going to do? That way I get credit for thinking about it, but I didn't actually have to go through with it. So I took her over there, and we traveled out to the village, and we were walking around, and she was being pretty quiet. And I looked at her about halfway through the walk, and I looked to my left and my right, and I said, all right, what do you think? Is this too much? Tell me it's too much, and we'll go and, you know, have fun in Spain for the rest of your birthday vacation. She looked me dead in the eye, verbatim. She said, I've never wanted anything more since the day I married you.
Oh.
Well, you weren't supposed to say that. Now I got to do it. But now, at the end of that trip right there, we put down our first deposit.
Wow. Now, as you said, it's a fixer-upper.
Just a bit, you think?
Yeah. What's your plan for it? Would you like it to look like in a couple of years' time or 5 years' time?
Well, that's a very easy answer. It's going to look like it looked when it was first built, if I have my way. I want to make it very clear. I am not trying to build Disneyland. I am not trying to build some brand new buildings. It would honestly be a bit complicated if I wanted to do new buildings, because I am in a national park and surrounded by a UNESCO biosphere. I can't even cut down dead trees on my own property without written permission. So my plan is to restore the buildings, at least on the outside, to look like they looked when they were first built. And of course, we're going to update all the infrastructure, all the power and things like that. So, you know, you're not running on 1950s technology. But basically, everything has to get fixed. So my plan is the first year is all about infrastructure, you know, the power, the water, the waste, things like that. So most of the first year, we'll probably be fixing all of that stuff, you know. And then around the same time, we'll start on a couple of buildings. Like, I want to start on the church first and the pool area. Now, I know that seems a little strange, but I'm actually being very intentional about stuff like this, because the pool, if we do that first, then all these people that are coming out in the middle of nowhere to work on my village, hey, you know what? At the end of the day, go hit the pool. You know, You got a lunch break. Well, you're not going to go into town on your lunch break because there is no town. So, you know, go up to the pool area and have a break and hit the pool if you want, you know, or like one day a week, I could call it family day. Like, every Friday is family day. You know, bring your family to the village, let them hang at the pool area, and then go see them on your break, you know, that kind of thing. So that way I'll keep everybody, you know, motivated, I hope.
Yeah. But you're also going to do up the church first.
Definitely. That's the first building that I want to do, obviously.
Do you want to get that turned back into a working church and you know, hire a priest? I don't know how they do that. But,
well, you know, that's funny because it's interesting you say that, because I've been getting, ever since the first story was published well over a year ago, I've been getting letters every week from around the world, people seeing inspiration or hope for themselves, or, hey, you're taking a big chance on life. It makes me want to do it, you know, or our city is our country is crazy right now. Can I come and live there? You know, it's been a crazy thing. So what I want to do is get that church done first, because you can have church services and stuff like that. And yes, it will be a church, but it'll also be an event center. We're going to have, you know, concerts, speeches, weddings, you know, all kinds of stuff.
All right. Okay. And would it be your intention then after that, that there'll be people living in the village, or are you 100%. Thinking more like it's a, like people will, you know, Airbnb there kind of thing?
No, it's going to be both. We're going to have short-term rentals, vacation rentals. It's going to be a hostel kind of a building. And we're definitely going to have apartments for people that want to live there. I've already had a lot of people talk to me about wanting to do that. When will it be ready? We'd like to move in. I'd like to have a job in the village. I'd like to, you know, so everybody's just kind of waiting for me to get this thing rolling, and they want to step right in.
Yeah.
And, you know, you asked about the priest, and I'll tell you, one of the letters that I got over the last year was from a Catholic priest, and he asked if I needed one, and he said the diocese would help take care of his moving expenses. So To answer your question, that's how that works.
Right. Okay, good. So you've even got that set up. That's extraordinary.
Well, we haven't set it up yet, but yeah. I just know it's there when the time comes.
Yeah, Jason, this is going to cost millions, though, I assume.
Between 5 and 7 million easy.
Oh.
It was. I tell people it's inexpensive to buy, but it's a bit expensive to fix. But, you know, that kind of thing, it doesn't worry me. You know, the money comes or it doesn't come. You know, that's not up to me. We'll try and raise the money, and there's going to be grants and subsidies from Spain and from the European Union. We'll get, you know, investors and stuff like that. So I'm not too worried about that part of it. That'll happen.
Yeah, well, very best of luck. One of our listeners actually suggests you should try and get a TV company to make a documentary about your renovation project.
Well, that's funny you should say that, because I am currently taping, I guess I could say a little bit of this. I can't say too much, but I am actually hanging out with some people from a TV show now and again, a TV show that's based out in the UK. And not really. I don't know that I'm allowed to say anything yet, but tell your listener that they're spot on.
Okay, good. Well, we
that is happening behind the scenes right now.
Fantastic. Well, we wish you the very best of luck.
Have a name for it, I'll tell you. Well, the TV show, I'm just going to be in an episode, but we're going to eventually do a whole show around the village. You know, not only what got me to this point, or why I'm doing it, or the process of doing it, restoring the village. But then when we open, you've got the people that stay there. You got the people that work there, all the things going on in the village, how it affects the people around it. So that's going to be its own show. And probably a book might come out first. And I can tell you right now, the working title of both of those will be called The Adventures of Don Castro.
The Adventures of Don Castro. Oh,
that's my nickname. Spanish tattoo.
Don, thanks a million for speaking with us today, and the very best of luck with all that. That was Jason Lee Beckworth, better known as Don Castro.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.